Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, everyone. And welcome to Junior Giants Speak right here on Blog Talk Radio. This is the show for children, by children, and about children. And we're glad this morning to have our Junior Giants with us. Good morning, Junior Giant reporters.
Good morning.
We have an exciting show planned this morning. We have some grandmothers with us, and we have just a bunch of young people ready to celebrate the holiday season. We're getting excited. Christmas is a week and a day away, so we are looking forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior. As I do always when we get started, I want to thank everyone for listening, and I want to thank everyone who is participating. I especially want to thank the parents because I know that it's an effort to help the kids get ready for the show each week. And I do want to let you know that I appreciate it. And I want to thank my reporters for being so willing to participate in the program. This morning, I also want to remind you that I want you to continue to do great things because greatness is in you, because you were created in the image of God. So you have to always know that greatness is in you, and He expects us to do great things. So this morning we're going to go ahead and get started, and I just want to remind us during this holiday season that let's make sure that we're keeping Christ the center of all our celebrations. We can get easily caught up in the gifts and the shopping and the lights and some people even Santa Claus. But I want you to remember that Christ is the reason for the season. That's such a cliche phrase, but He really is. It's the whole point of Christmas is Christ. And so make sure that while you're enjoying your families and enjoying your friends and all the things that Christmas brings, I want you to remember to put Christ first. Take a moment and think about Him and why He's here and why He came and the whole point of His birth and salvation. So we're going to go on and get started this morning. We have a different kind of format for us this morning. We're going to do some interviews. We're going to have some of our children are going to interview their grandmothers. And the reason that we're going to do this is because I want us to get a broader look at Christmas and what that's all about and how important it is for us to remember the things that were important to our grandparents, how things were back then. And sometimes when we see how things were back then, it makes us grateful for how things are now. And so that's going to be part of our format this morning, and we're just kind of excited to hear the stories or the interviews that the young people are going to do. We're going to start off, though, this morning with the original Christmas story, because I just want us to remember how the birth of our Savior. I want that to be in the forefront of our mind. Do I have Imaji? Imaji? Well, she must not be on the line yet. So we're gonna move ahead. The next person that we have scheduled this morning is Mr. Simeon Spann. And all of the children are going to come to you with a different view of Christmas from a different aspect. So we're going to get ready and go right on to Simeon. Simeon, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
You're good? Are you getting ready for Christmas?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you expecting for Christmas this year? What are you asking for?
My mom, my grandpa, and that's mostly everybody.
Are you asking for presents this year?
Yes, ma'am.
What are you asking for?
Well, I was asking for a Wii, and for the Wii, a Wii game that's called Wii Resort, and a PlayStation game for me.
Oh, okay. So, what is your story about this morning?
Well, it's like half now, like what Christmas means to me and what Christmas is about.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. Celebrating Jesus' birth is what Christmas is about. I love the Christmas cookies and the Christmas trees, but that's not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. Jesus was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger in the back of an inn. He grew up in Nazareth. He is the Savior of the world. The shepherds worshiped Jesus. They also watched him sleep. The wise men brought Jesus gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Jesus is the Lord of all lords, and he is the King of all kings.
Well, I think that Simeon. And so what does Christmas mean to you? What, when you think of Christmas, is it just about the presents?
Not really. I think of Jesus sometimes.
Does your family have a family tradition that you all do at Christmas?
Well, we get together. All of our family gets together. And then we just, sometimes we might talk to each other about Christmas and, like, what are we getting for a present.
Okay. I saw you this past week. You were in a Christmas program for your school. Were you nervous when you were up there doing your part?
A little.
Huh?
A little.
You were nervous?
Yes.
You didn't look nervous. You did very well. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay. And thank you for your story. You did a good job.
Thank you.
We're going to move right ahead. And now we're going to get ready and do one of our interviews with the grandmother. And our first interview is going to take place. The first interview is going to take place with Ariana Grigg. So I need Ariana, are you ready?
Yes.
Will you introduce your grandmother to us, please?
Good morning. Today I am pleased to share with you my grandmother, Alice Brock. I will be asking her questions about Christmas. Grandma, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. How was Christmas for you when you were growing up?
Christmas for me was a happy time. It was more simple than it is today. We didn't want elaborate things, and we didn't get elaborate things. We were very happy to get fruit and a large candy cane. Anything else was a double blessing. But it was a happy time and less stressful and just more simple than it is today.
Okay, let's go to the next question. How is Christmas different from Christmas now?
Could you say that again, Ari?
How is Christmas different from Christmas now?
Okay. We didn't do a lot of the running around and shopping. It was more family time. We did a lot of stuff at home. We had a lot of home-baked goods. That was a big deal in our house. We had a lot of homemade cakes and pies because everybody was coming. But as far as we didn't have malls, so there was no running to the malls for shopping. We had a lot of homemade gifts that we gave to each other.
Okay. Which do you like the best, Christmas then or the way it is now?
Well, I must say that it has evolved, and I loved it then, and I love it now, because even though there's a lot of stressing with what are you going to get this person for Christmas, what are you going to get that person for Christmas, you can still make it an eventful occasion in your life, and you can still center it around family and love of friends. So I would have to say that I wouldn't say that I like it better now. I would just say that I still enjoy Christmas because we spend so much of the time with our family. And back then, I didn't have you, and today I do. So that makes it doubly special.
Okay, so next question. Which Christmas was the most happiest for you?
Okay. I guess I was about maybe 11 years old, and that was a really special Christmas. I got a big, beautiful bride doll. That was a big thing when I was growing up, to get a bride doll. Big, beautiful bride doll, brand new bicycle, and a pair of skates. And that was probably one of my more memorable Christmases. For me, that was a lot. To get that for Christmas was a lot. So that was a very happy one.
Okay. What would you say is the best part of Christmas?
I guess the best part is, for me, it's always the Sunday leading up to Christmas, because you go to church, or we go to church, and we have a moment to focus on the real meaning of Christmas. In our hustle and bustle of buying gifts and shopping, we sometimes get caught up. But on that morning, that Sunday worship service before Christmas is a great downtime, a time to just to focus and really remember what the real reason for the season is. So for me, that's the best time. And one other time is on Christmas Day, when all the family gets together for the big meal. So those two times are really special.
Okay, and last but not least, what Christmas traditions do you do with your family today?
Okay, we typically all get together, usually on Christmas Eve, all the family, all the children, and we just have a good time fellowshipping and eating and exchanging gifts, and that's our big tradition that we do. We all come together and just have a great time.
Okay. Well, thanks, Grandma, for sharing with me on Junior Giants. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks, Ariana.
Thank you both for being on the show this morning. That was a good interview, Ariana. It's interesting to hear the differences in Christmases from our grandparents or even our parents. I remember hearing my mother talk about Christmas, and they didn't have a fireplace, so they hung their stockings on the back of chairs. And I always thought that that was just so peculiar. But that just goes to show you how Christmas has evolved. And we are going to move ahead, and we have Amaji on the line. And Amaji is going to read to us the original story of Christmas. Amaji, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you getting ready for Christmas?
Yes.
What are you doing to get ready?
Well, my mom, she's going to cook something, hopefully. So I'm thinking of stuff that we could cook and I could help her with, and putting up our Christmas tree and the wreath and hanging up the lights and all the Christmassy stuff.
Okay. Well, I know we're getting ready at my house too, and I love putting, I love getting a new Christmas tree because I love the smell of that. So it's enjoyable too. Can you cook?
Well, I have to learn more things, but I can cook some things. I cook desserts.
You cook desserts?
Yes.
Okay. Any special dessert for Christmas?
Well, it's normally sweet potato pie.
Okay. Well, you'll have to make sure I get a slice if you make it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go right ahead with your story.
Okay. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Thank you very much, Imagi.
You're welcome.
If you could be, I love this story because it's just so solemn and so sweet. And every time that I hear it, I can just kind of picture in my mind how that took place. So, Imaji, if you could be any one of those characters, who would you be?
I would probably be... It's hard. I think I would be kind of... Just because I'd be kind of scared and frightened. But I'd also be Mary.
Okay. Why do you think you'd be scared and frightened?
Because, I mean, if I were married or getting married and my wife to conceive a child without anything happening, I mean, it would be kind of freaky, but then you have thoughts going through your mind saying what happened.
I think you're right. I think that would be that would be very peculiar. But oh, what an honor it was to be chosen by God. And so she was a young woman, and I like to tell the young people that Mary wasn't an old lady. She was a very young girl. In those times, you know, it was different. They got married or they were joined in marriage at very early ages. But the point that I want to make out of that is that God can use you at a very early age. You don't have to wait till you're a teenager. You don't have to wait till you're an adult. The age that you are right now, whenever you're willing to tell God, just use me. I want to do something great for you. He will use you. And so I just want to encourage you and let you know that even at your age, God wants to do something great in your life. Imaji, thank you for reading that for me.
You're welcome.
And you have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
And we're going to move right on. There's just something sweet about that story. I love it every time I hear it, and believe me, I've heard it a lot of times. But I just am so appreciative of the gift that we were all given. We're going to move on this morning. We have another grandmother interview, and I think this is going to be done in a different style. And we have Miss Ariana Mack. I have two Arianas, and this is Miss Mack. She's going to talk to us about her grandmother. Ariana?
Hi.
How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Tell me about your grandmother.
Well, this part is when she was a little girl. She told me that they would clean the house and decorate with all each other. And they would do chores and buy presents for each sibling since there were 11 children. And her mother would make fire cakes all the time. And only one time a year, all of them got fruits and candy at Christmas. Because I think their mother didn't, like, want them to have bad cavities like that. And they would eat turkeys and dressing, and they raised their own turkeys too. And now my grandma says that all my cousins come to her and ask what they want for Christmas because she just loves them so much. And she said on Christmas Day now she has grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She said it makes her more happy now. And she said it was happy. She usually didn't get what she wanted when she was a little girl because there were so many children. And now that she has grandchildren and children, that she can give them what they want and she can still be happy.
Okay. I've actually met your grandmother, and she is a wonderful woman. And so, you are going to this grandmother for Christmas?
We don't go down to my grandma. We usually stay up here.
Okay. Okay. Well, I thank you for your story. Can you imagine? I heard you say in the story that they used to raise turkeys.
They do. They used to raise turkeys when they were little.
You know, I was standing out on my deck, and a wild turkey ran through my yard. And I was wondering if I could catch it. But then I don't know what I would do with it after I caught it because I don't think I could kill it. But it was a big, huge turkey, and he just ran through my yard. And so I can only imagine raising a whole bunch of turkeys and then having to fix one for the dinner. Can you do that? Could you do that?
No.
Okay. Ariana, thank you this morning for your story. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
What are you doing for Christmas?
Well, we're going to go to Colorado, but now we're just going to stay home.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm sure you guys will enjoy each other for the holidays. And thank you again for your story this morning.
Okay.
Okay. There are so many different traditions that people have for the holidays. And one of those traditions is the Christmas tree. And like I said earlier, I love having the Christmas tree because I love the way it makes my house smell. It just smells so fresh and like you're in a forest. And so we're going to hear a quick story this morning by Miss Grace. And she's going to talk to us about the Christmas tree. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good.
You want to tell us the story of the Christmas tree?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go right ahead.
The Christmas tree comes to us from Germany. Martin Luther is credited as being inspired by the starry heavens one night and expressing his feelings to his family by bringing a fir tree into his home and attaching lighted candles to its branches. Fir meant fire, and fire is an ancient symbol for spirit. The tree also pointed toward the heavens. The triangle shape means the Trinity points upward toward God. The needles grow upward like hands praising God. The lights mean heaven, and the gifts are for charity and love. Evergreen is for the forever eternal, and green means life.
Okay, so you were saying that the tree is shaped in a triangle. What did you say about that?
It means for the Trinity.
Okay, so the three points for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So are you ready for Christmas?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what have you done to get ready for Christmas?
We put up the Christmas tree, and we're fixing dinner and baking cookies and brownies and stuff.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your Christmas, and thank you for your story.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to move ahead to our music portion our music portion of the show today. We don't have a specific music guest, but we're going to move to our musical director, Miss Ariel Mack. Ariel, are you there?
Yes.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes.
What did you ask for Christmas?
A phone, clothes, new shoes, boots, a lot of things that, like, I really need, like, the phone, but my mom and dad said that I might get a phone. It depends on how I act.
Okay, so your behavior will determine whether or not you're going to get that phone?
Yep.
So do you know what behavior they expect?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so have you been giving them that behavior?
Sometimes.
Is it hard sometimes?
Yes, because, like, the only reason why I have, I get in trouble a lot in school. Well, it's not because of me, it's just because some people ask me questions, and I know the exact answer to it, but if I say the answer, and she's just looking at me talking, he would just ask me, can I see your heart card, and he will mark my heart card, and I'll get in trouble. So if I have four, I already have four on my DMC mark thing, and I probably, if I get my fifth one, I might get ISS.
Okay, well, let me give you a little pointer so that you don't get ISS, because I'm going to have a problem if you get ISS, sweetie. That's not going to be good for you. So this is what I when you, since you know that when people ask you questions, you're always the one that gets caught. So the thing to do is not answer it, because if they're not going to be in trouble, you are. Okay, so you have to practice. If they need to talk to you, put your hand up. They can talk to you at a time that's appropriate, okay, so that you don't get in trouble and then you lose out on the things that you want. Okay, so just put your hand up like you're stopping them from talking to you and don't say anything, okay? So that way you can stay out of trouble, because I know you want to talk because you're very personable and you like talking to people. But I want you to put your hand up, tell them to stop talking to you, and you keep doing your work. So that you don't get in trouble, okay?
Okay.
Can you try that?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to keep on moving, though, because you started off the school year and you were very excited, and I want you to keep that excitement, okay? And if there's any area that you need help in, all you have to do is ask, okay?
Okay.
All right, we're going to go. We're going to keep going. Who is it that we're playing today?
We're playing Keep It Locked on Jesus by Brother Reggie Summers.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite songs.
It's one of your favorite songs?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want you to enjoy it, and here we go. This is Keep It Locked on Jesus by Reggie Summers. And he does have an album that just came out. Look for it in your stores. Here we go. Keep It Locked on Jesus. Brother Reggie Summers. And that was Brother Reggie Summers this morning with Keep It Locked on Jesus. And what an appropriate song for this time of year, because the whole focus of this time of year is Jesus. And we're grateful for that selection. We're going to move right ahead, and we're going to go all the way to Colorado with a young man, our Junior Giant reporter in Colorado, Isaiah Kelly. How are you this morning, Isaiah?
Good.
Good. Are you all done with school out there? Ready for
mm-hmm.
the break?
We're already on break.
You're on break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Isaiah, what grade are you in?
Fifth.
You're in fifth grade?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How are you doing in school?
Good.
Good. Now, what are you doing to get ready for Christmas?
Sleeping, mostly.
You're just enjoying your Christmas break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, go right ahead with your story this morning.
All right. Hi, I'm Isaiah Kelly, and I am going to tell you the true meaning of Christmas. One thing about the true meaning of Christmas is giving to others. God showed this by giving his own son that we don't have to live in sin. So we don't have to live in sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Another true meaning of Christmas is spending time with family. Instead of being worried about just getting presents, try to work on giving your time to your loved ones. And you can gift your love and your joy by making them smile, create art and crafts, ask your parents to help wrap other gifts, or plan a family night to watch a Christmas movie. We as children are also called to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas Day is the day Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ for being our Lord and Savior. You can worship Christ by reading the story of his birth in the Bible and giving God thanksgiving and glory. You can worship on Christmas Day or any other day. I hope this has given you some ideas on the true meaning of Christmas.
That has given me a good view of the true meaning of Christmas. Good job, Isaiah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And how's the weather out there in Colorado? Has it started snowing?
No more.
Okay. Is there snow on the ground?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you again in our future shows. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
And tell your family Merry Christmas, too, for me, all right?
All right.
Okay. And we're going to move right ahead, and we have another aspect of Christmas. One of the things that I like also about Christmas is the candy cane. And one year I actually decorated my whole house in candy canes. The tree that was the Christmas tree ornament was nothing but candy canes. I have white poles in front of my house, and they were made into candy canes. And it was just a candy cane fiesta going on there. So today we're going to hear a story by our Junior Giant reporter, DeJory. And she's going to explain to us the purpose of the candy cane. Good morning, DeJory.
Okay, one second.
How are
sorry,
you?
Hello?
How are you this morning?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Are you ready for Christmas?
Yes, well.
How did you get ready for Christmas this year?
Ma'am?
How did you get ready for Christmas?
how do I get ready for Christmas?
Right.
I get ready for Christmas by on the week of Christmas, we do our Christmas shopping, and we set up our tree and put our presents under there. And we either go to my family and we meet at one place, or they come down here with us.
So where does your family live?
Ma'am?
Where does your family live?
We're kind of scattered. Some live in Alabama, some live in Oklahoma, and some live in Arkansas. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your Christmas. Please explain to us about the candy cane.
One second. Okay, can you say that one more time?
Please explain to us about the candy cane. You have background noise, too.
Oh, one second.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Go right ahead.
So, I have a story about the legend of the candy cane. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read it to you. Is that okay?
That's great.
Okay. One dreary evening in the depths of November, a stranger rode into town. He stopped his horse in front of a lonely storefront. The windows were boarded shut, and the door was locked fast. But the man looked at it, smiled, and said, "It will do." All through the gray short days and the long dark nights of November, the man worked. The townspeople could hear the faint pam, pam, pam of his hammer and the snish, snish, snish of his saw. They could smell the sweet, clean scent of new lumber and the deep, oily smell of new paint. But no one knew who the man was or what he was doing. The mayor hoped he was a doctor to heal his illness. The young wives hoped he was a tailor to make a beautiful dresses. The farmers hoped he was a trader to exchange their grain for goods. But the children had the strongest, deepest wish of all, a wish they did not tell their parents, a deep, quiet secret wish that none of them said out loud. No one spoke to the man. No one asked if he needed help. They just waited and watched and wondered and wished. But one small girl watched and wondered and waited and wished longer than she could stand. And one snowy day, she knocked at the stranger's door. "Hello," she said. "My name is Lucy. Do you need some help?" The man smiled warmly and nodded. Then he opened the door and Lucy stepped inside. A long counter ran down the side of the room. Bare shelves filled the opposite walls. In the back were dozens and dozens of barrels and crates. "Could you help me unpack?" the man said. Lucy's heart sank at the sight of all the boxes. What if there were only barrels of nails and bags of flour? But she removed her dripping boots and hung her coat on a peg. On stocking feet, she crossed the rough wooden floor and knelt beside a crate. "Please, open it," the man urged. Slowly, Lucy put her hand into the box and pulled out an object wrapped in tissue. Round and heavy, it almost slipped through her fingers. Lucy trembled a little as she unwrapped it. It was a glass jar. Lucy gave the man a puzzled look. "Go on," his nod said. So she unpacked another glass jar and another, until she was completely surrounded by jars of all shapes and sizes, tall and thin, round and squat, jars with lids and jars without. "Now," the man said, "for something to put inside." And he pulled over a huge crate stamped with the strange word. As Lucy unpacked, her eyes lit up. It was candy, her favorite candy. "Gumdrops?" "Try some," the man said. She popped one in her mouth. Now she could hardly unwrap fast enough. "Peppermint sticks? Taffy? Lollipops? Chewing gum?" Wide-eyed, she looked at the man. "We wish," Lucy said. "Yes, I know," said the man. "And here it is. Welcome to Sunman's Candy Store. I am John Sunman." Soon, the small store was filled with candies gleaming in their glass jars, raspberry suckers and tiny lemon drops, brightly colored jawbreakers and long tangles of licorice, pink and white peppermints for church and butterscotch balls for company. Then, in the very last package, in the very last crate, was a candy Lucy had never seen before, a red and white striped candy stick with a crook on the end. "What is this?" Lucy asked. "This," Mr. Sunman explained, "is a candy cane. It is a very special Christmas candy." "Why?" Lucy asked. "Tell me," Mr. Sunman said. "What letter does it look like?" Lucy took the candy and turned it in her hand. "J," she said. "Yes," Mr. Sunman smiled. "J for Jesus, who was born on Christmas Day." "Now turn it over. What does it remind you of?" Lucy turned the candy in her hand. She peered down intently. "I know," she finally said. "It's like a shepherd's staff. Who were the first to find out about Jesus' birth?" Mr. Sunman asked. "Shepherds in the field," Lucy answered, "watching over their flocks by night." "But Mr. Sunman, what are the stripes for?" Lucy asked. The man's eyes grew sad. "The prophet Isaiah said, 'By his stripes we are healed.' Before he died on the cross, Jesus was whipped. He bled terribly. The red reminds us of his suffering and his blood." "But then," Mr. Sunman continues, "the candy is white as well. When we give our lives to Jesus, his blood washes away our sins, making us white and pure as snow." "That," he said, "is the story of the candy cane." "Is it a secret?" Lucy asked. Mr. Sunman looked at her for a long moment. "It's a story that needs to be told," he said. "Will you help me share it?" It was now the depths of December. The town was whipped round by blizzard winds. For days, the sun hid itself. But every morning, Mr. Sunman and Lucy ventured out. They wore heavy woolen coats and bright hand-knit scarves. And in their stiff mittened fingers, they each held a bag. They went to every house in town. They traveled to every farm in the country. They knocked on every door. In every home, they told the story. They left a small gift, and they gave an invitation. On the afternoon of Christmas Eve, the sun finally broke through the clouds, and Sunman's candy store officially opened. The mayor came, feeling better than he'd felt in days. The young wives came dressed in beautiful smiles. The farmers came, eager to trade grain for Christmas gifts. The children ran in dizzy circles. Yes, their wish had come true. Yes, they had come to share in the opening of the candy store. But they shared something more, something bigger, something better. On that Christmas Eve, they shared the story of the candy cane. They told of a miracle of Christ's birth, the misery of his death, and the mercy of his love. And that's it.
That's a beautiful story. I never heard that. The Legend of the Candy Cane. Who is that by?
This is by Lori Wahlberg.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning.
You're welcome.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And we're going to move on this morning. We appreciate that story from DeShori about the candy cane. And we're going to move on this morning. We have another grandmother interview. And this one is coming to us from our junior giant reporter, Faith Dixon, and her grandmother. Good morning, Faith.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Go right ahead with your interview.
Okay. Today I'm interviewing my grandmother, Rose Doyle. Are you there?
Hello, I am.
Today I'm going to be asking you a few questions about how your Christmas was. So how was your Christmas when you were a child?
Well, I had some really great memories of Christmas when I was a child. And thinking about everything, it just brought joy to my heart again, because I would think about just the day itself. It would just be snowing, and it was cold outside, and there would be thick frost on the window, and I would just be looking out the window thinking how beautiful that is, because I grew up in Minnesota, so we had a lot of snow. And it was just so pretty and pure, and just looked so clean and refreshing. And that was really kind of the beginning of my day, just to watch the snowfall, and then to look across in the neighbor's yards to see, you know, they would have snowmen built up, and they would look like Jack Frost with tall black hats and red scarves wrapped around their necks and carrots stuck in their nose, in their face for their noses, and they had buttons for their eyes. It was just so beautiful to me. And everyone's home, I mean, the entire neighborhood would just be decorated, full of lights, and you could see the bows and the wreaths hanging on the doors and candy canes in the yards and great big bulbs that were draped around the house. And so just that atmosphere, just looking out and seeing that, would actually give me the feeling of Christmas Day.
So when you wake up, would you go, like, into town and shop and do stuff like that?
Well, to prepare for Christmas, yeah, we would go downtown and like at that time, you know, Santa was a big, big thing. You know, we'd get in a line with the other parents and the kids. We would all get together, and there would be long, long lines trying to get to Santa to give him your wish. And I can remember the music just playing. It was like beautiful Christmas music playing out into the streets. And, you know, you hear songs like Silent Night and Deck the Halls and We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And it was just really festive. And then you would see, like, people standing outside in the cold, and they were, you know, like Salvation Army or Santa's Helpers and even churches, and they were taking donations for the children that were in need. And it was just such a beautiful thing. People would actually walk up to you with big smiles on their faces, and they'd say, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and they'll stick a big, huge candy cane in your hand, and some people gave you homemade cookies, and it was just a beautiful time of the year. And there was a lot of joy. You could see a lot of joy in the faces of the people. You could really see and feel, even in the air, the spirit of Christmas. And everybody was celebrating the same thing, Christ's birth. That was just, you could just sense it and feel it. It was just wonderful, wonderful feeling, because everybody was on the same playing field. It was a spirit of giving. People were just, I mean, sometimes they would even give you money, you know, just put money in your hand. So being downtown was exciting. It was really, really exciting.
So what was it like putting up your Christmas tree?
Well, the Christmas tree was another story. Back then, my uncle actually, he had Christmas trees in his backyard. If he had a wooded area, he would go cut the Christmas tree down and bring it in and stick it in water, and that's just to keep it from, you know, getting dry. And then it was that really beautiful pine smell. I mean, it would light up the whole house, and we would decorate the tree. And it wasn't always the normal ornaments. We would use our homemade ornaments, things that we had made on our own, and stick them on the tree. So the decoration was a little bit different. We didn't have the pre-lit trees at the time. We had the red and the green bulbs that we put around, and then you have these things called icicles that you would actually throw on the tree, and to give it a little added, you know, beauty. So
after all that, what was it like actual on the Christmas Day?
The Christmas Day was great. I mean, you know, you could smell the food cooking in the oven, you know, where, you know, back then they had 3 and 4 different types of meats, 3 and 4 different types of vegetables. I mean, all kinds of, you know, cakes and pies, lemon meringue, sweet potato, chocolate cake, pineapple upside down cake. And so just smelling that in the background would really also add to your feeling of Christmas, because, you know, everyone was going to come together at some point during the day and really share that. And then after, you know, we would have dinner. Actually, what we would do is we would put on our snowsuits and our hats and stuff and gloves and boots and throw our ice skates across our shoulders and, you know, run up to the pond up the street and go ice skating. We would even toboggan or sled, or and that would really be great. I mean, that would just top it all off because you're with your cousins and your family and you're just enjoying the day.
So, like, on Christmas Day, what was your presents like?
Well, my presents were mainly things that I needed. And, you know, I did have toys, you know, but toys were kind of few and far in between. I mean, because we really had great need back then. And so I would... sometimes I would get a bike. One time I did remember getting a bicycle and some dolls and just little games to play around with all day long. By the end of the day, the game was broke, you know. But it was had some really great toys and gifts. And there were gifts that really would last us for a long time as far as clothing was concerned, because that was the need that we had the most.
So how is your Christmas different from when you're a child, like today?
Well, things are changed a little bit. I miss the snow, for number one, so I don't have that on Christmas all the time since I'm living in the South. But, you know, I do see a real big difference in how people even prepare for Christmas. I mean, it's not as – I mean, we used to spend a lot of time and doing things back then in preparation for Christmas. It could be weeks or months and even in advance, especially if you were knitting or, you know, making something for someone. So that's a big difference in the time that's spent in making preparation for Christmas. I think the spirit that people have today in giving is a little different too. I don't know if it's because there's a little sadness due to the economy where people don't have as much to give as they used to be able to give. So the spirit in the air is a little bit different. But I always know that, you know, and feel that memories, you know, is the greatest thing to have, good memories of your childhood and of Christmas in itself and what it's really truly all about. And that will carry you a lot further, and that can bring joy into your heart once again.
And I want to thank you, Ms. Doyle, for being on the show this morning and sharing your Christmas experience. I miss the snow too, so I understand that completely. And we're going to extend the show just a few minutes because I do have one more reporter that I want her to get her story in, because her story is what it's all about, and that is the story of the gift. Why we have the gift, and that's what Miss Jasmine this morning, she's going to share with us about the gifts of Christmas. Thank you all. Thank you, Faith and Rose, for your story. Jasmine? Go right ahead. I'm going to extend the show. Go right and give me your report, Jasmine.
Okay. My report, it says, many people celebrate Christmas just as the holiday where they get the new toy that mom wouldn't get them during the rest of the year. A lot of people don't know why they celebrate Christmas or what it even stands for. Christmas used to be a religious holiday where Christians would celebrate the birth of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Most people just celebrate Christmas as the day they get presents, go sit on Santa's lap, and they don't even know why. Jesus Christ gave the greatest present there is, his life. He gave his life and died on the cross for the remission of our sins that we may go to heaven. The first Christmas was not celebrated until the year of 350 A.D. until Pope Julius I officially designated December 25th to celebrate Christ's birth. The non-believers of Christ tried to explain to their children and families that Christ was no better than the rest of us, so they went and started giving their children gifts and hanging themselves to prove that Christ had no value. Santa came to be because of the atheists. They believed that since the presents were coming from somewhere, there needed to be someone to bear and venture them, so they created this fictional character called Santa Claus that comes through the chimney and gives you presents. A lot of people also don't know why they celebrate Christmas. They just believe that they are getting presents and that is all that matters. That is not all that matters. What matters is the fact that Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. That was the greatest gift there was. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with getting presents on Christmas, but it wouldn't hurt to know the origin of each holiday you celebrate.